Ever pinch pennies all year for that one family vacation, only to feel the budget blues afterwards? If so, I was just like you. After three vacationless years, I stumbled on credit card rewards travel and cracked the code to amazing vacations that I could actually afford.
Welcome to Wonderland on Points. In this podcast, you will discover how opening credit cards strategically can save you thousands on travel. We're not just dreamers anymore. We're two adventurous moms turning dreams into reality. Join us as we spill all the points and miles secrets.
And contrary to popular belief, you don't have to spend $1 million to earn 1 million points. Traveling on credit card points isn't reserved for those with overflowing bank accounts. It's for everyday people like you and me, learning to turn routine expenses into free travel.
Consider us your points travel guides. This is Wonderland on Points. Let the adventure begin. Hey, everybody. We have a quick pre-show announcement to make. The episode that you are about to hear is awesome. It is about Bora Bora with our friend Emily Eats and Explorers. This is a true dream trip. So aspirational. It is a pricier trip. This is a luxury resort. It's incredible. And it was going to be something that we were like, you know, this could be really special, but it could be hard to attain. But before we tell you all about it, we want to let you know that right now, at the time of this release, there is a transfer bonus from Chase to Marriott, 70% transfer bonus. It is crazy. It ends on November 30th. So with this transfer bonus, this is the best time we've ever seen to book a trip like Bora Bora. And we're going to give you the breakdown of how much it will cost for you to do it.
We did not want to let this opportunity pass you guys by because, as Mary Ellen said, it does not have very long left on this transfer bonus. So I just wanted to very quickly give you an idea of how you could make this work for you. I did tell you at the end of this episode, I did some math on different ways to attain this in player one and two mode with various cards. But the easiest way that I see at the moment to get this trip, let's say you wanted to do 5 nights in March. I looked at random dates, March 1st through the 6th. That was landing you at 331,000 points for that 5-night, 6-day stay in an overwater bungalow. And I realize that this sounds astronomical. The way that I would do this right now is I would go for the Marriott Business Card. There is an elevated offer right now on the Marriott Bonvoy American Express Business Card. It's 125,000 points. It is broken up into sections. So you earn the first $75,000 with the first $6,000 in spend. You earn the next $50,000 with the next $3,000 in spend. But it's stretched out over 6 months total, and I think it's pretty doable for most families. So that would give you $125,000. It's only got a $125 annual fee. It's not one of the crazy ones that gives you super elevated status that gives you free breakfast, but it does give you gold elite status, which should come with some perks. That would leave you only having to transfer 122,000 Chase points with this 70% transfer bonus to cover 5 nights in an overwater bungalow.
Amazing.
In Bora Bora. That's crazy.
Incredible.
That it is over $7,000 for these 5 nights. And yes, this is a lot of points. Absolutely. But if this is some dream 10-year anniversary or, you know, a honeymoon, and you're going to put all your wedding expenses on a card, and, you know, they're just – this is something to set your sights on and go hard and focus on, and it really could be done in a relatively short amount of time. Like, I imagine how long it would take me to save up $7,000-plus to take this vacation. I would be working on this for years. If you put that kind of focus instead into accumulating the points, you can go spend that money on a down payment for a house or whatever. I'm in the marriage zone and honeymoon zone in my head now. So anyways, we just wanted to make sure that you guys understood this is a massive opportunity right now to get this property specifically, which is one of the cheapest Bora Bora option on points for an overwater bungalow. And with this bonus, this is the best way to make that happen.
Yep. Okay, guys. So 70% transfer bonus from Chase to Marriott only through November 30th. So if you listen to this episode and you're into it, go for it. All right. So here's our chat with Emily Eats and Explores.
Welcome back, everybody, to Wonderland on Points. I am Joe. I am here with Mary Ellen, back again for another exciting episode. And today we have another two-time guest. Emily Cooper from Emily Eats and Explores is back with us to talk about another fantastic destination on Points. I feel like you're checking off our like dream bucket list. Feels like they're unattainable destinations for people. And again, you've done it on Points. And we're so excited to get into the West and Bora Bora with you. Welcome. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I'm so excited to talk about this. It was such a dream trip. So I can't wait to share with your audience all the good stuff that I have learned too, because as you guys know, I'm not a super points and miles expert. So I can't wait to hear from you guys to get all the tips that I should have known before even going into this trip.
I mean, we're always learning and always growing, but I did do some research, so I feel like I have learned enough to maybe be able to replicate this at some point. But this is a super fun property that we get to dig into because we did cover Tahiti and Bora Bora previously. People will remember that episode with Annie from Let's Travel Talk, but we did not talk about the Westin Bora Bora. And after all of my research, this is the cheapest way right now that you can be on Bora Bora in an overwater villa. So we're going to dig into it in a little bit. But in case our audience does not know who you are or did not catch our last episode, please just tell us about yourself and your Instagram platform, your background, and how you came to start dabbling in points and miles since it's not really your main focus.
Yeah, sure. So hi, everyone. I'm Emily. As we said, I'm from Massachusetts, born and raised. I was an epidemiologist for 4 years until the pandemic decided to take a career break. And that ended up turning into now almost 3 years of pretty much full-time travel. I started my Instagram just for fun to show my friends and family what I was doing when I was traveling, taking this 6 month career break. And then I was going to move in with my now husband and go back to work in a hospital. But yeah, my accounts just grew. I was able to work with brands, tourism boards, all of that stuff very quickly. And that led to a lot of questions, which led to now my membership called the Travel Boss Membership, where I now help travel content creators help grow their platforms, help grow their income. And it's just been so much fun. What a journey. I still can't believe that I'm here today getting to talk to you guys. And honestly, points and miles, I obviously knew like the very basics of like, it's good to have a travel credit card, but I never knew about, you know, how you can transfer those to different partners. I thought, okay, if I was going to have Capital One points, I could use that in the Capital One portal, like that kind of stuff, you know, very basic. But one of my good friends, Ashley, you guys know Ashley gets around. I'm going to shout her out a lot here, which I'm not doing that just because she's my friend. We're like sisters at this point. And I'm like, I hate giving her like a pat on the back, but you know, she's been very helpful in all of this. So she actually started running a conference. I was getting involved in that as the MC, and I started learning more and more from these other creators who are going on these incredible, incredible trips for basically free, not just doing like, you know, I would get, sometimes we would go on a road trip and I would get like, you know, the rental car for free or something like that. Like now it has totally expanded. As we said, I have done an incredible Kenya trip on points with Ashley, and then most recently my honeymoon. So amazing what you can do with them. And I'm just still touching the surface of it.
Yeah. Well, you've learned quickly. You learned quickly enough to plan a pretty spectacular honeymoon. Before we get into it, I do want to say, if anybody is wondering, the conference where Emily learned a lot of this is the Travel More conference that you guys have heard us talk about, where Joanna and I were honored to be speakers this past year. So we'll keep you updated on any Travel More news for future years. But let's get into your honeymoon. So I first want to know, because you have traveled all over the world. You have been to incredible places. So for your honeymoon, what inspired you to choose Bora Bora and why the Westin Bora Bora?
Yes. Okay. So this is a little bit of a story, but I was talking to my now husband, my then fiance, and we were going back and forth a little bit about where to go. Because as you said, I've been to a lot of incredible destinations. We've been to a lot of incredible destinations together. So it was like, do we want to do something that we have already done that we know and love? Do we want to do something that's a little bit more out there and adventurous? And so my husband realized, he was like, okay, I'm going to have this time. My work is like, you do, you know, go help for however long you want, like 2 weeks we ended up going for. So he's like, let's just do something that is, feels a little bit more bucket list, a little bit harder than what we could do if maybe we could bop over to Europe for a week or something along those lines. So that's how we decided to go to French Polynesia. I had initially booked Moorea because as I was doing research, I think Bora Bora intimidated me. Everybody was saying it's so expensive. It's so hard to do. Like, this is something that's going to be, it felt like it was going to be really outside of my price range. Mm-hmm. So I ended up booking the Hilton Moorea. I ended up booking a overwater bungalow, one of the nicest overwater bungalows there. And that was going to be our splurge. And then because that was going to be our splurge, I was hoping that I was going to get flights on points. So I was kind of waiting for that, you know, going to, you know, signing up for all of the accounts, point.me, those things, looking for those. But then Ashley, she has a subscription for cheap business class flights. She ended up sending out an email for a cheap business class flight to Tahiti. And if you're going to Moorea or you're going to Bora Bora, you have to fly into Tahiti. So I looked at that and underneath she had like a little, oh, hot tip, guys. The Westin is actually having like a big deal right now because they've just opened again and they are doing an incredible points deal. So I was like, wait, oh my gosh, could we potentially go to Bora Bora? And the funny story about this is my husband has always wanted to go to Bora Bora. When
back I love in this story.
Back in 2014, Justin Bieber went to Bora Bora. He stayed at the St. Regis and he posted a picture of his naked bum and it went completely viral. And so this is really my, I think my first knowledge of Bora Bora was from then. I don't think the from Kardashian, from literally booty. Justin Bieber's bum. And I remember my husband was like, oh, he was like looking up the place that he was at because we were like, that's so cool. What, like he's like standing on this like hut in the middle of the water. And he was like, this would be so incredible. I would love to go here. And I'm like, Justin Bieber is there. Like, we are not going there, babe. Like, good luck. So for me to potentially make this happen, that was absolutely insane. So I looked it up. I had enough points. Thankfully, I had both Marriott points and I had Amex points that I was able to transfer over. We can get into all of those details too. But that's kind of how we decided. So I was able to make my husband's dreams come true when I didn't even think it was a possibility because just hearing from everybody on social media, from online, I was just so intimidated and thought this was going to be a trip that was, you know, of course you want to splurge for your honeymoon, but I didn't want to spend 50 grand on my honeymoon.
Right, right. Just because you want to splurge on your honeymoon doesn't mean you should splurge on your honeymoon.
Exactly, exactly. When you're already paying for weddings and things like that.
Oh my goodness, so. Right. It can get so expensive. So how far in advance did you do all of this? Were you looking right when the calendar opened or were you actually scrambling a little bit closer to your actual dates? And tell us what time of year you ended up going.
Yes. So we had our wedding in July. So my husband wanted to wait until he was at his job. He got a newer job, a remote job. Love it. So he wanted to wait until he was at his year mark for us to go on our honeymoon. And then we had a ton of weddings. So there was like a very set time that we could go where it was close enough to when our wedding was happening and we would still be able to go to those events that we needed to go to. Mm. So we went in September, mid to the end of September, and that was a perfect time to go. It's still technically their high season. It was beautiful. I think it maybe rained like once in the morning, like before we even woke up. So it was an amazing time to go. So I started looking, so that was September 2025 we went. I started looking for things in October of 2024. And okay. In December, that's when I really got into looking for award availability for flights, because if we were going to pay for an overwall or bungalow, I really wanted to get something on points. So that's when I started looking at that. And that's when I ended up booking the Hilton Moraya. And I ended up getting, I forgot what they called it, but it was like an early deal or something, as like a, I have like Hilton Gold through my Amex. So I was able to get a deal through that. But in January, I got that email from Ashley. And after that, that's when I realized, okay, I'm going to, I think I was just getting like a sign up bonus. So I was like, that is going to go into my account. I can transfer those points and I can do that. And then I ended up, like, from that time looking for business class flights, a little bit on points, but more just something that was a little bit more affordable. I think the normal price is around $4,000 to $6,000. So I ended up finding one from Boston to Tahiti for $4,000 on first class and business class. So I ended up booking that. So everything was booked by March 2025, and we went in September of 2025.
Okay. That I think a lot of deals, it's tricky. It's like you want to plan really, really far in advance, but then sometimes the best deals come a little bit later on, closer to the time of travel. So It's really great that you were able to be flexible because you had booked the Hilton on points. I guess you were able to get those points back before booking the Marriott property. Do you happen to remember with the Westin through Marriott how many points it costs per night, or maybe how many points it does now per night? So for people in the future who want to book this, like, what is the price range that they're looking at?
Yeah, absolutely. And I do want to clarify. So I had booked the Hilton Moraya not on point. So that was $9,000. Like, that was going to be out of my pocket.
Wow.
Ouch.
Wow.
Four nights Hilton Moraya, almost $9,000. So that's why I was like, I need to get these flights on points because I am not sweating even more. And if we couldn't get on points, we were going to fly economy. Like, there was no other way to kind of like go about it. But so that's why I was so excited when I found that deal.
Yes.
Because the Westin Bora Bora. So basically I had all of those Marriott points, right? I transferred into the account and I was always planning on booking the Westin because of the deal that they were having. And by the time we went in September of 2025, they just celebrated their first year of opening. So they really did want people to come. I think you can still get it like a pretty good deal. But once I had that in the account, I looked at the Westin and the St. Regis. The Westin at that time of booking was 285,000 points that I ended up paying for 5 nights. You obviously pay for 4 and get the 5th night free. So it's not cheap, but I thankfully had them and I was so excited. The price point at that time was $2,300 a night for our bungalow.
So crazy.
I saved over $10,000 by booking it on points, which is so worth it. I did look at the St. Regis during that time, and it was over $500,000 for 5 nights.
500,000 points.
500,000
points. Honestly, 500, with how expensive St. Regis is, I would have believed dollars too.
No, I know. I know there is at the Four Seasons, I know there actually is a bungalow that's $30,000 a night. So who knows? You could spend that. So the locals loved telling us that, how Snoop Dogg stayed there. They were very excited about that. But yeah, so I was like, okay, I've heard great things about the St. Regis. My husband and I we like the movie Couples Retreat that was filmed there. That would have been fun. But like, I couldn't justify that crazy amount of, that's almost double. Mm-hmm. So I was like, nope, that's not worth it. So at that time, it felt a little bit like a risk because I would watch YouTube videos. I would watch some creators that had went, and there was a lot of mixed reviews about it because it had just opened. There were some things that like they didn't have prepared yet. There were things that they were like messing up some places, which of course, that's what happens when a resort has just opened up.
Right.
So I was like not worried, but because you're still in Bora Bora, you're still in an amazing overwater bungalow. But I didn't know everything about it, and it didn't have the credibility yet that some of those other resorts had. So, but I was really excited, ended up booking it right away, and it looked so beautiful. I was excited to stay at the newest resort in Bora Bora. I thought that was really cool, and obviously it worked out amazing, and I basically have no bad things to say about it.
Yeah, I am more than okay with people working out their kinks on me if I'm in an overwater bungalow in Bora Bora. Mm-hmm. Like, it's fine. Whatever your mistakes are, it's fine. But I'm like so easygoing.
Same.
But mm-hmm. I feel like you have everyone needs to kind of evaluate their own personality and like what is really important to them. And if they're okay with, you know, the things not going 100% according to plan, try out the new places. I did the Hyatt Vivid Grand Island when it was very new. And that, you know, that's why it was so cheap. And it was amazing. And, you know, of course, not everything is perfect all the time, but it's a price that you pay for getting that cheaper points deal. Because when you went, if I did that correctly, that math, I feel like it over the course of the five nights came out to like 47,000 points per night, which is like crazy. Now, obviously, it was more expensive than that because your fifth night was free. I did do some research now. So first of all, December through March is considered their wet season. I did a little research on what that actually means. Apparently, you could get a few showers a day, but they're like pop up and then usually the sun comes back out. So it doesn't sound like it's terrible any time of the year. April and November are their shoulder months where the weather is considered nice, but it's still not high season. So those are the times where I feel like people, if they don't want to risk rainy days, would want to look at. So the Westin in April is between 90K and 104K per night, which obviously is steep. But again, you're in an overwater bungalow that costs thousands of dollars per night. If you want to look in wet season, I was seeing January and February dates as low as 79,000 per night, which again, if you're doing five nights, one of the nights could be free. So I feel like for someone trying to take a really special trip where you're obviously stockpiling and planning in advance with your points, like there's a lot of value here, because comparatively St. Regis in April is 120 to 150K, and that's these prices are for their cheapest rooms, not necessarily overwater bungalows. The Hilton Moorea is 110K a night in April. The Conrad is 210 to 230 per night. And correct me if I'm wrong, but all of the rooms at the Westin are overwater bungalows. Is that correct?
They have, I don't think they're available online right now, but they do have, I want to say 10. They're called lagoon bungalows.
Ooh.
So they're bigger bungalows and they're on a little private beach surrounding the lagoon in the middle of the resort. So they are on a beach. I don't think those are available yet. I don't know if they're still working on them or what the deal is with that, because there was a little bit of construction going on when we went in the back. They had it pretty much blocked off. You wouldn't even really notice it. But I did not see those online, but they do have them.
Okay. Yeah. And okay. So like, that's what you have to weigh against itself, because it feels like even for the cheapest points price at the Westin, you're pretty much guaranteed to be out in one of these bungalows. Whereas the cheapest prices on some of these other properties, you are not necessarily getting an overwater bungalow.
Yeah.
Well, before we get into like the details of the resort and everything that it offers, talk to us about the transfer, because you talked about getting a great deal of a flight from Boston to Tahiti, but then what about getting to the actual Westin Bora Bora? Because I know there's a boat transfer involved, a couple other little details. What's the pricing on that kind of stuff, just so people can budget appropriately for a trip like this?
Yeah, absolutely. So the reason I booked Moorea initially was because it's so easy to get there from Tahiti. It's a 20-minute little ferry ride, so it just seemed very simple, very easy. So if that's more your speed, you can definitely look into that. But to get to Bora Bora, it's also very simple and very easy, but you do have to take a flight. So it was about a 40-minute flight from the airport in Tahiti, and it flies right into Bora Bora. There's two airlines, maybe more, but the two main ones are Air Moana and Air Tahiti. I booked Air Moana. I'm not exactly sure why. Maybe it was because it was just the cheapest that popped up, but it was about $300 for each of us for round trip.
Round trip. Okay.
They're all, yes. Air Tahiti also does fly there. And what I have learned about them is, one, they have more flights available. So if some reason your Air Moana flights gets canceled for whatever reason, it's going to be really hard for you to get a new flight. You might have to actually get a flight out the next day. Mm. If for some reason Air Tahiti, you don't make your flight, it's canceled, they have more flights a day that you could potentially be able to get on. Plus, they also have a island hopper pass that you can get. And the cheapest that I looked for that was actually like maybe $400. So it wasn't even that much more.
Oh, wow.
But again, we were kind of wanted to be a little bit lazy on this trip.
Yes.
So island hopping wasn't on our radar, but it definitely would be really cool. Now that I've been, I'm like, oh, yeah, we definitely could have done it. It wouldn't have been that bad because we did spend a little bit of time in Tahiti. But that is an option if you were going, you want a little bit more of the adventure, you want to stay on those a little bit more like remote islands. You can also do that with the Air Tahiti Pass. So both of those are good options, but we flew Air Moana. Really easy, really amazing. You fly into the main airport in Bora Bora. It's like absolutely incredible. When you get off, you're welcomed by music and the employees on the ground, like, you know, usually they're in vests, they're in uniforms. No, when you're landing in Bora Bora, they're dressed in beautiful gowns. It's a lot of women there. They have flowers in their hair. You're greeted with music. It's like the most amazing way to enter the island if you're flying in the morning, which I suggest that you do. So once you're there, you'll see the, I want to say six of the main resorts on the island. They all have little booths. You just go up to the Westin booth. They will greet you with a lay and kind of give you the lay down of what's going to happen. They'll grab your luggage. And then you have your private boat. This whole process took maybe like 5 minutes. By the time we talked to them, they grabbed our luggage and we were on the boat and then we were headed on our way. So all of that is included. You do have a destination fee in, that you have to pay at the Westin Bora Bora. You cannot pay this with points, but it was about $600 for 4 nights, the taxes and the fees. So it wasn't anything crazy, but you do get the transfer from the Bora Bora airport. That takes, I don't know, maybe like 20 minutes. Like it's nothing crazy. I think they try to go a little bit slower because you do get a cool tour of the island and everybody's taking photos and everybody's so excited because it's their first taste of Bora Bora. So that's really great. And then they also have a complimentary shuttle from Bora Bora to the main island, which I don't think I even realized there was like a main island. I don't know. What? Yeah. Okay. I'm glad. I really did not know this. There is a main island of Bora Bora. This is where like a lot of the locals live. And that is a completely different vibe than what is surrounded in the lagoon with all of these very luxury resorts and villas. But that's a complimentary shuttle that you have as well that goes multiple times a day that you can take too. So very easy, very quick. They have, before you actually arrive there, once you book, you're set up with a concierge and they get all of your information from you before time. So they know what time your flight is coming in. They know your preferences. They know the things that you like. So they really have all of your information before you even arrive at the destination, which is really nice. It makes you feel, I don't know, but very taken care of. VIP. Yeah. Yes.
That's what you want on your honeymoon. That is great. I want to know your first impression when you arrived, because I feel like a lot of really nice resorts do the welcome so well. But one question before you tell us about that is that did you feel like you needed to have cash on hand for tipping? And did you do that in US dollars or did you exchange for some local currency? Because I mean, imagine if people are helping you with bags, or you've got this boat driver, shuttle driver, like typically the resort experience means you're kind of handing out cash all over the place here and there.
Yeah. So for us personally, we did have some cash initially. I did try to tip the person that was taking our luggage off and or on and off of the boat and they didn't take it. I don't know if that was them personally or what was going on with that. So I ended up just, those kind of people, we just didn't do it. Everything else, you can tip just like on your card. So we did some activities and we asked about like tipping and things like that. And you can just like also add it onto the card and they would give it to the person that is, you know, whether you want to tip it to the cleaning staff or anything along those lines. So, and then everything else, all the restaurants, you obviously have to pay for. So yes, that's something that you don't have to worry about either. So yeah, the cleaning crew, any of the excursions, any of that, you can add on there. And then everybody else was kind of more of, you know, meals and things like that, which you obviously just added on right to the room, the card anyway.
I actually love that because the last resort we were at, I started running out of cash and then I felt stressed at the end. So I was like, no, please don't take my bags. I have no cash. I cannot give you a tip. Yeah. I'll take my own bag.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, if that's something that you feel like super passionate, and I think that would be kind of the only situation where that would work. I mean, there are, they do have like golf carts that will like bring you to your room and stuff like that. But I'm assuming that's kind of included in the destination fee. We literally took it once. Yeah. Like, and you didn't even have to take it. Like, but some people are quite far away. So maybe if they were doing that every day, that's something that they would want to do. I don't know. So after that situation, I just didn't know if like any of the other people on the resort just like didn't accept them or kind of what the protocol was for that. But everything else was super easy by being able to do it on card because if you don't have cash, you're kind of screwed.
Right. I think that totally makes sense. It's hard to know because there are different parts of the world at large where like tipping is not a thing, or you'll offend people by tipping them, or they're already paid really well and they just are going to do a good job regardless. And it's not about the tip. So it's hard to, it's like you have to feel out the vibe of each place. So it sounds like in general, this is just a, you know, tip for meals and definitely always cleaning staff and stuff like that. But okay, let's hear the first impression of arriving to the West in Bora Bora. Was there music? Were there drinks? What was it like?
Yes, it was amazing. If you've watched White Lotus, it felt very White Lotus-y in the first season of Hawaii, where you're like coming up on the boat and the staff is all lined up on the dock and they're waving to you and they're welcoming you. There was a man playing the ukulele, and then you have like a lot of the staff that are going to like the people that are working in the check-in desks and things like that, that will like be walking you around and things. So yeah, so you're greeted very magically on the dock by the staff and they walk you into the lobby of the resort. I mean, I don't even know if you can call it a lobby because everything is like outside. Like basically nothing is really inside at this resort. Everything has like access to the elements. I guess the lobby, there was some air conditioning in there, so that was okay, but it did bring you right out onto this like gorgeous balcony. So I was the last one to, we were the last people to get into the lobby because I, of course, was like off the boat and like taking photos and like being like, oh my God, this is so beautiful. This is so amazing. And I had to like show all of my genuine reactions. So we did wait quite a while when we were in the lobby. They do give you a towel and a juice upon arrival. And so we just had to hang out. From the time we actually arrived to check in, it was about an hour for us to actually go to the check-in desk. We did arrive with four other couples. So it is a quite a bit of time that they tend to you to explain everything about the resort. Then they also give you a private tour walking around the resort, and then they will bring you to your room and give you a tour of the room.
Wow.
So it is quite a long process. So if that is something that might stress you out, make sure you are, you know, get off the boat.
Run
to the lobby. I literally told Ashley this. I was like, you would be fuming. But what I will say is, so I have gold status through my Amex. I was kind of, you know, we were at the chair like next to the two check-in desks. So you could hear that like, okay, and check-in is at 3 p.m. And so you can like hang out at the resort and you can like go in the pool and you can have lunch. So we got there around 10 and was it 10? 9, 10. Anyway, the hour passed. Once we checked in, we were able to check into our room right away. I don't know if it's because of my gold status. I don't know what it was. So while everybody else got checked in quickly, they had to wait until their room was ready versus us. We kind of waited in the beginning, but then we were able to check into our room right away, which was incredible. So I had no complaints about that. It would have been a little bit different. You were waiting an hour and then you had to wait because, yeah, if we were there around 10, we would have had to wait quite like 5 hours or so to get into our room. That's pretty intense.
Yeah.
But yeah, it ended up working out for us. I didn't get, you know, an upgrade or anything along those lines. I wasn't really expecting it. I did a lot of research about that because we had more of the basic. You can even call it basic. I don't even want to call it basic. We had.
I was like, how do they upgrade you from an overwater villa? Like, how does it get any more upgraded?
So the different levels are you have the typical overwater bungalow. That's like your base one. And that's going to be a lagoon view. And then the next upgrade up is going to be the Mount Otumanu view, which is the main big mountain that has – it's in all the pictures of Bora Bora. Right. It's like the lagoon is surrounding this mountain, which is the main island. And then above that is going to be – your private pool with Mount Otumanu view. So there are different levels. We just did have the base one. So we did not have a private pool and we did not have a Mount Otumanu view, but it ended up being fine. You can, if you're paying with points, you can, I'm pretty sure with points, you can only get that room and then you can pay cash to upgrade. I think it was like $2,500. Don't quote me on that, but you can pay to upgrade if you wanted a, like a private pool or something. But the ocean is our private pool. Right. So it's fine.
Seems very unnecessary to me, but I am just a simple, simple person. I feel like we need you to describe like room tour your overwater villa. Okay. Like paint us the mental picture so we can all be there with you in our minds.
Yes, absolutely. So when we checked in, I realized what room we were getting. At, like all the staff members told me it was their like favorite area of the resort, like favorite rooms. And I was like, are they just telling me this because like it's our honeymoon? Oh, I'm eating it up. And now I totally understand why. So we were in the 200s and we were very close to where like the main section of the resort was.
Okay, everybody, we're going to take a quick break from the episode just because we want to tell you about our favorite loungewear company. Yes, you know, you keep hearing us talk about comfort, and it is because we truly love it. I cannot stop buying things.
I know, it's actually become a little bit of a problem, but also it has solved some problems for me because I kind of agonize over gift giving. Like I want everything to be like the perfect present, and if I can't think of anything, it kind of makes me grumpy. This has solved this problem in so many ways for me because there literally is not a single person in my life who I can't go to the Comfort website and find something to give them, including my dog, who I think needs a little hoodie to match the rest of the family.
Yes!
I don't know about you.
Oh my gosh, you have to. This is the Christmas for sure in both of our homes where it's going to be, and you get comfort, and you get comfort, and you get a hoodie, and you get a hoodie. Everyone gets a hoodie.
It literally is the Oprah moment that I've always dreamed of, but I truly have. When we go to my parents' house and we're having like everybody there, literally everyone's getting something from Comfort. So guys, right now they're still having their early Black Friday sale and things are selling out like hotcakes, but they're also replenishing. So make sure that you're getting on the website to take advantage of these amazing prices.
And the quality is so good. When we went trick-or-treating, I wore a whole Comfort jumpsuit. I had on a hoodie. I had on the sweatpants. My husband also had on a different brand, but he had on warm weather clothing. He was cold. And I was like, what are you talking about? I'm not at all cold because the Comfort stuff is so warm. I mean, it is perfect for winter. And then recently they put out this buffalo check, you know, perfect red and black check for the holidays. I snatched that up so fast. When you see stuff on their website, please act fast because it sells out. It sells out every single time. Sometimes you can still hop on a pre-order order to get stuff, but it'll be a couple months delayed. So if you see something and you want it, go for it.
And like she said, she had on a whole set because you've got pants, you've got hoodies, you've got zip-ups, you've got pajamas, you've got blankets. Guys, there are now suitcases.
Okay, guys, so we do have a link and we so appreciate it because this is one of the ways that you can give back to the podcast without it costing you anything. I mean, you are getting the clothes that you're purchasing. So yes, that costs something. But you get 15% off with our link and it will support our podcast. So it would just mean so much to us. We are really so grateful. We do not have affiliate links, credit card links right now. So this is a way that you can purchase something for your family to love and it helped the podcast.
And just as a reminder, that 15% does stack on top of the sale prices. So this is a great time to take advantage of that. You can find the link in our show notes. And now we will get right back to the episode.
The first time you arrive to the resort, you're taken to your villa on a golf cart. So you get in the golf cart, you arrive at your room, and they'll give you a little room tour. So you open up the room, and ours was, they're all somewhat similar, but it's a big, gorgeous room, really high ceilings, just so airy and beautiful and fresh and clean. Big king size bed. You have a big, nice walk-in closet. You have a little seating area with a table on the table. They had champagne and snacks Aww. Waiting for us and a welcome card and the schedule of the week's itineraries. Then you walk around. They have TV. They have fridge, coffee, all of that good stuff that you would want in a hotel room. Walked around. We saw they had decorated our bed with flowers Aww. Of like hearts. And it was so beautiful. Of course, they ask your concierge before you arrive if you have anything that you're celebrating.
Right.
And 99, maybe not 99, 90% of the resort was either there for a honeymoon or an anniversary. So
yep, that makes sense.
We didn't see any kids. We didn't see many friends, or there was one mother-daughter duo and like everybody knew about them because they were the mother-daughter duo.
It
was so cute.
It was so cute. There was a mother-daughter at Travelmore this year and I shout out to them if they're listening because I do think she's a podcast listener, but I just loved seeing them traveling to the Travelmore together.
It was very sweet and they were really nice. It's so funny. They had like winter coats on in the morning. Like oh my gosh.
I forgot where
they were from. I think they were from California, but I know it was so funny. I'm like, oh my gosh. So yeah, they were cold gals, but so funny.
Us Easterners, Southerners, Midwesterners are very confused by that.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Yeah. It was so funny. But yeah, so lots of honeymooners, lots of couples. But then you have two little rooms, one for the shower, one for the toilet, double sinks, a big soaking tub in front of the window. And then you go outside. Big balcony with a seating area, two lounge chairs, towels that they replace every single day, of course. Then you have an outdoor shower, and then you have your ladder into the water, into your amazing oasis that is private to you. And where we were in the 200s. We were facing this private island. We felt like we were literally the only ones there. There was only one other bungalow next to us. And like three that were curved a little bit, but we felt like we were just like private in the back of the resort facing this island and we had a sunrise view. So you are almost always outside of your bungalow for sunset because they have like I call it the sunset bar, but it's a happy hour bar. And so every morning we woke up for a sunrise on our balcony and it was like so incredible. And not everybody gets a sunrise view. And I thought the sunrises were like even better than the sunsets because there's the mountain in front. So the sun doesn't actually it sets behind the mountain, but it hasn't really set yet.
Yeah.
The staff said that you feel like you're like actually at the end of the world. And that's like totally what we felt like. So it was so beautiful. We saw stingrays, we saw sharks,
just in the water
because
there.
We were in the back.
just in the water from our balcony, like so magical. We had our own like little private, the coral isn't great there. That's a huge complaint people have, is the snorkeling is not great, but we had like our own little, it felt like our own little private coral. And there were like the most adorable fish around there. So I went out and I would snorkel there one day. We were right next to, they have a turtle sanctuary. So you could see the turtles. Like, it was so amazing. I'm so happy we got in that spot and actually didn't get an upgrade because it was so magical. And being in the back, it's so it, the water is more shallow. So I was always thinking, okay, by private bungalow, you can jump off your dock into the water. It's deep. And if you're further out towards the mountain, you can do that. Mm-hmm. So I ended up buying in Tahiti, I ended up buying like a floaty so I could like float.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I don't want to like tread water. But because we were in the back, it was more shallow. So we could just like wade in the water totally fine, walk all the way to the private island. You can't go on the private island because it is private, but walk all the way out. I mean, you could spend hours just walking in the area that we were in. It was so amazing. It was so magical. Yeah.
Amazing. And just like crystal clear blue water, right?
Crystal clear blue, like so many different shades of blue, because depending on how deep it is, like it's the most incredible water you will ever see. And it just doesn't get old. It doesn't get old. And then you walk out, we walked out of our bungalow and we had the view of the mountain right in front of us, which is where we took like a lot of our pictures and things. So I felt like we really got the best of both worlds, because everything on the resort, it has that mountain view. So I just feel so like grateful that we got to have that sunrise view. We took like a bath in the morning with the sunrise coming up. It was so, so, so amazing.
What an incredible, perfect honeymoon. Oh my goodness.
And I do want to add, if you do go, I would recommend staying in the 200s, because the 300s are so far away.
Okay.
It is a hike. It is a hike, y'all.
That's a great tip. That's, I love it. You know, we always encourage people to email the resort ahead of time anyway. So I think it's a great idea to request the room numbers that are the best, that we know have insider intel, that they are the best to request. So I love that. What other activities around the resort did you guys really enjoy, besides just being right at your own little private villa and jumping in the water there? What other activities mm-hmm. were really great?
So after we watched the sunrise every morning, I usually went and I did a workout class. So they had them every single morning. They had yoga, Pilates. Sometimes it was like sound baths. So that was all included. So I would do that almost every single morning. Such a great way to start your day. And it was in its own separate little overwater bungalow with a glass floor. So you're doing, you know, you're down dogs and you have the glass floor and the fishies all underneath you.
Wow.
So that was super amazing. Yes, loved that. Then we would usually go to breakfast and then we would go to the pool. They have a big infinity pool that is right in front of, right behind the beach. So again, you get that amazing view. They have a pool bar there with like the most amazing staff. Like they're the kind of people that would like remember your orders, remember your name. They were so great. And then we would always go onto the beach as well, just swim in the ocean. They had kayaks and paddle boards that were also included, snorkeling gear that was included. So that staff was really great and amazing as well, if you wanted to do any of that complimentary. They had a little a little beach bar that would be open for a couple hours a day where they had like frozen drinks and things like that. And again, those things are not, it's not an all-inclusive. So those things are not, we may or may not have spent $40 on drinks. It's fine. But
oh my goodness.
It's your honeymoon.
It's fine. Yeah, exactly. That's what we were saying. We're just like, it's our honeymoon. And like, we don't drink that often. Room, it's totally fine.
You did not spend thousands of dollars a night on it. So I think a little food cost is fine.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I agree. And it wasn't everything. Like, you know, a beer was like $10. That's normal. That's fine. Just kind of their fancier things. Mm-hmm. But then they had an amazing concierge service. So you could go to them if you're like, hey, we want to do an activity. We're not really sure exactly what we want to do. They had pages and pages and pages, probably 50 different tours, activities you could book through them. So easy, so simple. We ended up doing two of them. We did jet skiing. So we jet skied around the island, which was an amazing experience.
Fun.
And you you go to a little island and you have lunch and snacks, and it was so much fun. We also got to see like every side of the island and like what other resorts have, what kind of views they have of the island. And the Westin, I feel like by far has the best view of the island. I think the Intercontinental probably does have a good view as well, but that was under construction, like really, really bad under construction while we were there. So that's not something that I would probably recommend right now. But then you see like, you know, I think Conrad's really, really popular, but they don't even, it's on the island. So they don't even have like a view of the island. They have like a view of just the ocean, which is so interesting.
Wow.
So definitely. Yeah. It's so weird. I'm like, why?
It's so popular. I mean, I'm sure it's so expensive.
So popular. I don't know. Maybe it's just the service is just so amazing, but that was something that was, yeah, I was kind of surprised about that. So that was really cool. And then we also booked a Jeep tour. Really intense. Not sure if I would actually recommend this because you are going on some really rough terrain and you're flying up in the air. And if you have any back problems, neck problems, anything intense,
oh, good,
don't do it. It was really cool to, they should, it definitely should come with a warning.
I'm shocked. But that's how you know it's not America, because you didn't have to sign your life away.
I know, right? Sign nothing. Nothing.
Oh, okay. Amazing.
But it was, and you, all those things you could charge to the room, which made it really nice too. And so that was, we just took the complimentary boat from our resort to the main island. It took about 10, 15 minutes. And we got to explore the main island and learn about World War II history, learn more about kind of the locals, different spots of the island. They brought us to a little local art gallery. So that was a really cool tour to actually see where a lot of the locals are living and learn more about that history. Then, as I said before, they also have the turtle sanctuary there. So it's a rehabilitation for turtles that have been in danger in some way. And they'll rehab them. There's only one, there's only one turtle there right now. And from what I'm told, she'll live there her whole life. She won't actually be released because she has too much like brain damage to actually go back into the ocean. But it's cool that you will be able to see a turtle if you go. We never actually went inside. I think it was like $40 or $50 to go inside. So we didn't end up doing that. But that's also something interesting. They have a gym that's 24/7. So they have a lot to do. And then I didn't even think about this, but you could also just like go and get your guide or like Viator, and they have tours there too. Like there was a couple that like rented a private boat for the day for like, I can't remember what it was. It was like very cheap. And versus, you know, maybe if you went through the resort, some of those private boats were like $1,000 or upwards.
Yeah.
So
it's actually really good for me to hear this, because I know it may sound crazy, but in my mind, I'm not, my husband and I are not sit on a beach and do nothing kind of people. We're very active. We like active vacations. And in my mind, I guess wrongly in my mind, I have the impression that at a lot of these resorts, there's not a lot to do. Like you're over the water and it's beautiful, but there's not a lot of activities because it's so remote and it's just out in the middle of nowhere. I don't know why I've constructed that in my mind. So it's really great to hear that actually, if you're really active, you know, there's a host of activities to choose from, tons of offerings.
Yeah. And you're not wrong about that. They do call Bora Bora boring, boring, which I did not know. So
it's my husband's calls it that dream. Boring.
Yeah. My husband is the exact same way. He would chill all day, every day. I need to do like a little bit of sun. That's why I went to yoga at 3 p.m. every day. They had some type of crown making, shell making, dance class, something along those lines. So that was really fun too. So yeah, probably not why, maybe why you don't see a ton of kids being brought there. The parents might just be nervous. And I think if you, I'm just saying this, I know people that have brought children to that resort, but I do think there would be people giving you side eye if your kid is in the pool splashing around and laughing. That's just what I kind of witnessed, because it was just very couple-y, very, supposed to be this romantic honeymoon, and it was definitely the vibe of that resort when we went.
Yeah, I'm not spending those kind of points to take my child anywhere either. Sorry, no, you go get your own big girl job someday and you pay for your own trip to Tahiti. Okay, I'll take you to Mexico, but that's where I draw the line. That's how I feel.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah. I remembered you talking about on your podcast some very interesting and emotional and important things that you learned about the island of Bora Bora itself and kind of all the things going on over there and just like awareness in general. And I think it is important that we highlight that a little bit.
Yeah, this was definitely something. It was really eye-opening. And that's why I'm really glad I went to the main island, because there was a lot over there like I had no idea was even happening. So there's definitely still a lot of poverty that is over there. Again, it's kind of like, I guess, like a catch-22, because you are going there and you are like supporting the locals, supporting the economy. But the trash there is like, it's really, it's more than I would have thought. Like, you're thinking you're going to Bora Bora, you're going to this, it, what people show is like this super luxurious destination. And that is it on the outskirts. But then the island is definitely not always like that. Definitely all like a lot of houses are more run down and a lot of, you know, stray animals and things like that. Things that you wouldn't always think of when it comes to Bora Bora. There were so many resorts that were just abandoned. And that was from various reasons. COVID, there was a cyclone that happened and the government might shut them down for, I think they found like asbestos in a couple of them. And so they're not being sold and they're not being renovated. And so they're just sitting there. A lot of the homeless population is living in some of these, taking things out of them to try to sell them. These are just things that we were told. I don't like quote me on all of these things, but so there is definitely, I guess, a darker side to the island as well, because that is really sad that there's so many of these abandoned resorts and then they're building all of these new ones as well. It just seems like not great. But I will say, you know, I was worried when I saw a lot of that trash and I was like, oh gosh, am I someone that's actually contributing to this, like by traveling here and coming here? But I will say our resort was really great at not having anything that was like a single use plastic. Mm. There were no plastic water bottles. There were no paper napkins. There was not a lot of things. I mean, I think there was like a gift shop where you could buy like some candies and things like that, that was in plastic, but really nothing day to day that you would use that could potentially contribute to that. I'm sure there's some stuff that we don't see. But that was definitely something that was really eye-opening as well, because I'd never heard anybody talk about that.
Nope.
And had never had anybody experience that. So obviously just kind of being aware and trying to do your part as much as you can and making sure you're actually supporting these locals and maybe not just supporting like the big corporations, but actually going to the main island, giving back to that community, yeah, to doing those local tours that we were doing. And there are so many affordable places you can stay on the main island. I had no idea. There's so many homestays, hostels, little boutique hotels that you can go to Bora Bora and stay and still get these, you know, gorgeous beach views and things that I think people don't notice as well. There's like a public boat that brings you from the airport there that's very cheap. So I think just looking into all of your options, obviously the overwater bungalow is what everybody wants to do. But there are other options as well, and definitely making sure you're supporting the local economy too.
Yeah, I think that's super important. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to highlight it a little bit. I think, as you mentioned, like going through a Viator or a Get Your Guide to do a tour where the resort's not taking a cut of it, that might be something good to look into where you're giving back. And I don't think people need to feel super guilty, you know, necessarily about staying at a resort, because those resorts do provide jobs to the locals. I imagine a ton of locals work at the resort. That's probably where most of them are coming from. So I like that the resort seemed to be doing its part in terms of trash and all that kind of stuff. And I think if we all just stopped going in general, I feel like their whole economy would collapse. So there's definitely a balance to be had, but being aware is the first step, not just sticking our heads in the sand and just showing up as our American selves, just giving, I mean, taking and taking and taking and never giving. So important.
Thinking back to the property itself and the West End, you mentioned staying in the 200s, but I do know, because I learned a little bit about your trip before recording, that there were some bikes that were used because there's some distance involved on this resort. So aside from just walking, you did use some bikes. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. So the bikes were, they were a hot commodity, I'll tell you.
I'm so excited for you to tell this story.
There's some bike drama, guys. Bike drama. So there are bikes on the resort that you can definitely use to bike to your overwater bungalow, especially if you're staying over kind of across the resort. I call this at the end of the resort, because you do have to walk the length of the beach to get to the 300s. And then there could be quite a walk to actually get out to where some of these bungalows are, especially if you're at the very end and like they have like little cul-de-sacs at the end of them. So it can be quite a hike. So the bikes definitely are nice. They have pink and blue bikes, and that causes some drama as well, because people think the girlies want the pink bikes and the boys want the blue bikes. But the drama is there's not enough of them for everyone. So the people that are going a little bit further away, they're going to really want those bikes, and they're going to bike and bring it to their bungalows at night and keep them outside. So there were a couple mornings where my husband and I, we wanted to bike around the resort, because that's like a very typical thing you want to do. It's what you see on social media. So we were like, we want to bike around the resort. And when you wake up, all of the bikes are gone. There are no bikes anywhere. So you have to go and you have to steal a bike from someone that is staying at the resort. And that's how you can actually get a bike. And not all of the bikes are great bikes. Some of them, the tires aren't great. The chains are rusty. Just not, you wouldn't want to ride it just in case you fall. I don't know. It could be, you don't want to get hurt on your glorious honeymoon that you have planned for a long time. So we were being cautious about that as well. So once you can kind of spot the ones, they just look newer, they look nicer, and you're like, okay, I want that one. So you're on like the walkway, but then everybody has their own little private built bridges that kind of go to their bungalow. So once you're on their private bridge, you feel like you're on their property, but everybody parks their bikes there. So you just got to wake up. You got to go. You got to just run up and snag a bike and just
oh my goodness.
Book it as fast as you can to get away in case this person opens their door and you are standing right at their door stealing their bike. And it's like, they're not like these bikes that it's not like they own that bike, right? But you still feel like you're taking a bike. And so that was a very interesting experience. And I know some of the resorts, St. Regis, I know specifically, they have enough bikes for everyone, and your bike has your room number on it. So that is your bike. You can keep that bike. But these were literally such a hot commodity. People were putting the nice bikes. If you got a good bike, you're like, this is a good bike. This is great.
Oh, you put that in your room.
Putting them in their room.
Yes. I already was like, oh, I'd have the bike inside my room at night.
And we were joking about it, but we literally one morning we walked up, we walked out of our room, and sure enough, our neighbor bringing her bike out of the room. I'm like, you can't make this up. You can't make this up. So, it was hilarious. But yeah, you gotta be brave.
It's funny.
Grab the bike and go.
It makes me think of my house. I live in a house that does not have a garage. And so you walk in the front door of my house and you see multiple bikes in
accurate.
The foyer. That
I've
is our
there.
Little parking lot. Joanna
that is
has seen
so
it.
So funny.
So, you know, that would be nothing
I
for
love
me to
that.
Have a bike in the room.
Yeah. But because of where we
food.
Were staying, we were so close to the beach, to the pool, to the food. So we didn't need a bike to go back at night. We didn't need a bike to go back
good.
To our hotel.
Okay.
So we could just wake up. And yeah, just go right to breakfast.
That's
which
so
is
nice.
Nice.
Okay, let's talk about it though. Let's talk about the food. This is not an all-inclusive.
Mm-mm.
So what is the investment for food?
Yes.
What does someone need to budget if they want to stay here?
So one thing that could potentially be included is your breakfast. So you can either add this on at time of booking. I think points people cannot. That's my understanding of it. But you can either add this on in time of booking if you're doing cash price, or if you are a Marriott Platinum. That's right, right?
There's Platinum. Yeah, I think. And then Titanium.
Yes. Titanium.
I don't know. Okay. We don't really do status over here, so I don't know a lot about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're used to traveling with Ashley, though, so you're used to top Marriott status.
Yes, and she is so she's Titanium. But I am a Marriott Gold through my Amex. So we did get early check-in, late check-out, and I think that's pretty much the only perk. But still, really nice. So if you have Marriott Platinum status, which you can either get through just normal status or getting the Marriott Brilliant card, I'm pretty sure it is, then you can get breakfast for free. Mm-hmm. So that we did not realize is what most people do. So when you're looking online, you can see all the prices. They do have an a la carte option and they do have their breakfast buffet option, but they had three options online. So I was like really confused about how the breakfast buffet worked. So on our first day going there, we sat down, we asked for menus. And so that's how they knew we were doing a la carte and we ordered off of that. The second day they came up to us and they were like, oh, do you want like omelets? You can have this and that. And that was our order from the day before. So we were like, yeah, sure. So we had our omelets brought to us and we got our bill and we were billed for the full breakfast buffet. Mm. So we were like, oh, this is weird. So we had to have like a full conversation with the staff. They seemed kind of annoyed. We were kind of annoyed. And if you need to get a check at breakfast, it's like, it's really hard to do because most people have it included. I don't really know exactly how it works, but most people do have it included. So it seems that's what they're used to. And I remember them saying the third day we asked for our check and they were like, oh, we don't do checks at breakfast. And I was like, and then she's like, let me check your number. And she was like, oh, actually, yes, yes. So you can tell that it's like not out of, it's like more out of the norm.
So in theory, you just eat and then get up and leave and nothing happens.
Literally, just, like, actually, though.
I didn't say that. That did not come from me, but just saying that's kind of how it sounds.
Like, when they bring, like, so that you do walk in, the person who seats you asks for your room number and you get sat, but like, I don't know if they're connected with the, I don't know if they know. I'm not sure. Yeah. So that's what 99% of people do. They sit, they either, they go up to the buffet, there is only one option. But online, there's three. So there's only one option. It's $55. And grab your food and you leave. And that's what most people do. And that's what most people are. That's what the staff is like used to.
Wow.
So we did not figure this out until the third day. And the second day, I was just annoyed by the whole situation that because again, I figured out that there was only one option. It was $55 because they had charged us when we only got the omelets. So the rest of the day, we just ended up doing the breakfast buffet, which was lovely. Ton of options, juices, you get a coffee, you get eggs made to order for you. And they have these amazing like Tahitian, like Polynesian donuts that I was obsessed with. So breakfast buffet was amazing. I would definitely recommend doing it. But it is $55 a person.
That adds up.
So you are spending, yeah, versus we got omelets the first day, which came with, they make you have a bottle of water. So you have to pay for the bottle of water. It's like $12.
Oh.
So, yeah. So you have to have a bottle of water. And then we had our omelets, which were like 22 each. And it was like an omelet with a, with like a little side salad. So that's a little bit better, but I was just I was just too annoyed at that point. I was like, I just want to sit down. And it takes a really long time if you're ordering a la carte. Mm. I don't know if they do that on purpose, but I was just like, I just want to sit down, grab my food and go. So we ended up doing that for, the next like 3 days. So spending $300 just on breakfast right there.
Yep.
But it was a lovely breakfast. But if you can get it included, if you want to pay the $600 annual fee, or maybe it's $700.
Pretty high for that card.
that works for you and maybe you would get an upgrade. I don't know. Maybe it's worth it and for you, but it wasn't, well, when I waited out, it wasn't worth it for us. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just make sure you sit down, say, I want to order off of a la carte. They'll bring you the menu and they do have options on there that I would say probably $20 to $30 it ranges.
And there's something to be said for doing the buffet and then just eating an absolute ton of food and then trying to like make it till dinner or something to maybe cut your expenses down food-wise. Are there options for like little snacks or, you know, sandwiches, coffee shops? Like, are there cheap ways to eat anything, or can you pretty much guarantee you're talking $20 plus a person every time you grab food?
Yeah, I would say it's definitely $20 plus. You can go into their little gift shop convenience store that they have. I wouldn't say they have anything that you would want to have a meal on, but maybe you would want like a bag of chips, coffee. And that was totally fine. Maybe $3 for a bag of chips. We would get these like little, I was getting these iced coffees in the morning and that was like $4.
That's
like
not bad.
That wasn't outrageous, but everything else, yes, definitely. I would say probably $20 is going to be your cheapest option from what I saw on the menu, even if you're getting like a salad, that's like $25. So we would do exactly what you were doing. We were waking up at 5 every morning. So by 9, we were pretty hungry. We would just eat as much as we could at the buffet. And then we would always have a later lunch or sometimes, and we would share something. So they had like sandwiches that came, it was a Cuban. We would get these Cuban sandwiches every day and it came with a side salad and fries. So we would split that if we were having lunch. And if not, we would just have a very early dinner, which was kind of nice because after 6 p.m., everything pretty much at the resort, you have to call in advance to make a reservation. So anywhere you go, if it's not breakfast and it's not lunch, you have to make a reservation for dinner. You have to make a reservation to do the activities, to do sign up for the classes in the morning. So you have to kind of plan in advance for those things. So we would have these earlier dinners if we were like skipping lunch. And that was kind of nice because we didn't have to plan so much for that. So we would go to like the happy hour bar and then we would go and get our dinners. We went to the same place every time. I call it the beach bar. There's three places to eat at for dinner. And so that's the main one that you have to book. There is the breakfast restaurant. It turns into a French restaurant at night. I'm sure they have great food, but that's not something we were like super interested in, anything from the menu. And then they have a Michelin star, like tasting restaurant. So it's going to have multiple courses. They rotate the menu and it's only open, I think, 2 or 3 times a week, but they will have an Asian one, a Polynesian one, and then an Italian one. And so they'll rotate those. We weren't super interested in that. That's going to be quite pricey. You're having you're having different multiple courses.
And you leave starving probably because you probably get 2 bites of food per course.
Exactly. Yeah. Pass. The foam. We always joke about the foam.
The foam.
So we would eat at the beach restaurant almost every single night. They had a lot of great options, but the cheapest stuff I got a pasta a lot. My husband would get like a meat or a pizza or something along those lines. And those more of the, I guess, the American foods were more affordable, I would say, if you're getting like a salad, a pizza, a pasta. And then I would have loved to try some of their local dishes, but it's like, do I want to try something that's $70, $80? I don't think so.
I'm not going to test it.
And I'm not, I can't. Yeah, I can be a foodie, but I don't have to be a foodie. So I'm totally okay with that. And it was always very quick there. It was easy. And then after that, we would, you know, sit on our balcony. You can do room service if you want, but there is quite a high service fee for that. And the prices are also inflated for that. It seems like they don't really want people to do room service, but you can get it for breakfast. We did it lunch the last day. We did have lunch delivered, and it was lovely. But yeah, we would go back, and then we brought like 4 bottles of wine from Tahiti. And
smart.
We would just have our cheap bottles of wine at night, and it lasted us. Yeah, we got 4 bottles of wine for like $40, and that was – yeah,
that's
that would
so
be two
smart.
Cocktails.
And is there a good fridge there, or are you guys red wine people?
Oh, yes, there is a good fridge. Okay. Yeah, I'm a white gal, same. So we would, yeah, we just put it in the fridge. You know, you just have to take like the little divider out, and
yeah,
it's totally fine in there. But they fit, and it was great.
What a good hack! Could you bring snacks over? I feel like you probably could grab snacks in Tahiti too.
You can definitely bring snacks. So if somebody is bringing, someone's bringing a my husband. I always do carry on, but my husband had a check bag, so that's why the wine was totally fine. We brought some snacks from, because we stayed at the Hilton Tahiti, so right across the road is a big grocery store. So
perfect.
We just kind of loaded up on that stuff. But we didn't eat the snacks that much, to be honest. Snacking, yeah, it wasn't a huge deal. I think our meals that we had were
sufficient.
Fine, and they kind of filled us up. So that ended up being okay.
Perfect.
But I would just say don't go into it being excited about the food or going into it as a foodie. Like, I don't think the food, it's a food kind of resort.
Yeah, you're there for the views.
Okay, so after being there, after experiencing it, after knowing the full cost of everything, would you go there again? Would you say it's worth the points price and the distance to plan that trip because it just blew you away with how beautiful it is? Like, what are kind of your overall thoughts now looking back on it? Would there be anything that you would do differently that you could recommend people do if they want to plan the trip?
I mean, I absolutely think it was worth it. And when we were leaving, we were saying we would absolutely love to come back maybe like every 10 years or so, because it was just such an amazing experience, amazing trip. It lived up to the hype for sure. I know some destinations do not, but I think Bora Bora absolutely lives up to the hype. It is so gorgeous. It's magical. It is definitely pricey, but if you are looking for a trip to splurge, because we did end up spending, so of course we got the room covered, but with food, excursions, other fees and things, we still ended up spending $2,500. So, and that's again for like 5 nights.
Yeah.
So we were there the full day on the 6th day though. So it's definitely not super cheap, but it's an amazing experience.
Yeah.
And it is so worth it. Things I would do differently. I don't think anything really.
That's amazing. That's great to come away from a trip and be like, I think we nailed this.
Yeah. Maybe I would end up getting the Marriott. I don't know. Maybe I would end up getting the card for the free breakfast, but and I heard potentially an upgrade, but then we wouldn't get our amazing room.
Right.
So maybe not. Maybe bring a few more bottles of wine. Maybe we would do
that. There you go. There you go. I wanted to let everybody know, like, when you're looking at what credit cards can I use to help make this happen, Marriott does elevate their offers sometimes. I don't think right now any of them are particularly good, but the card that you're talking about, which is kind of their highest tier card, I think it is a $650 annual fee. Right now, the sign-up bonus is 100,000 points. I think the spend is $6,000. Somewhere around there. So if you think of it, if you're going, let's say, wet season, so they say, in February, which still sounds like it's gorgeous. Everybody on this podcast who listens regularly knows I am for off-season travel. I love off-season travel. I mean, I'm going to Vienna in January. I don't think that's most people's like prime time to visit anywhere that gets cold. But you could go for the 5 nights for 316,000 points based on the calendar that I was looking at. So if you open that really expensive card, knock 100,000 off of that, that's 216,000 that you need to find from Amex. You can pool points with people. So you could refer your partner to this card. Both of you could open it. That takes you down a big chunk. Now, granted, that is a very high annual fee. There's one with a lower annual fee that has an 85,000 point signup bonus right now. So maybe one of you gets the fancy one and one of you gets the, you know, the tier tier down. So you would then get the free breakfasts and the status. I'm sure there's perks that come with that as well. And then you can transfer the rest from Amex. And we've talked at length about how easy it is to earn Amex points by using Rakuten and shopping portals. So we always say, like, if you have a goal in mind, you can make it happen. These are not cards that I would ever recommend people just like open willy-nilly without a plan. But if you have your sights set on this trip, particularly for a special occasion, it can happen. It can happen. Thousands and thousands of dollars in value and what sounds like a totally extraordinary trip can happen for relatively very little out of pocket. So I am excited for everybody to hear this and potentially start planning their own fancy trips. Make sure you guys are joining us in the Facebook group and telling us if you've done a Bora Bora trip, if it's on your bucket list, if this was helpful. We want to hear all the things. The link is in the show notes. Emily, thank you for being with us today and sharing your special honeymoon.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun. And yeah, guys, definitely let me know if you do this trip, if you have any other questions. I could talk for so long about this because I'm just totally obsessed now.
Let everybody know where they can find you. If your membership is open right now, like shameless plug, Mary Ellen and I are in Emily's membership and we love it. There's so much value. So if it's open right now, highly recommend people get in there. If you are any kind of a travel creator, you will not regret it.
Yes. So you can find me on social media, Emily Eats and Explores. I mostly hang out on Instagram. That's my favorite place to be. If you go to pretty much any of my posts, you can also comment the word handbook. You can get a free handbook all about learning how to be a content creator. And that will put you on my email list where I share all goodies there too. I have a podcast with Ashley as well, Travel Chat with Ashley and Emily. We do some fun stuff on there. And then as Joanna said, I have my Travel Creator membership, which you can join for the monthly option. And so if you are looking to get paid as a travel content creator, learn kind of the ins and outs of being a content creator and potentially doing some incredible trips like these for free or for paid, then you can definitely check that out as well.
I'll link everything in the show notes. You guys can follow Emily and all of her amazing offerings. And Emily, thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Yay.
Bye, everybody. If you enjoyed this show today, please consider writing us a review or clicking 5 stars wherever you listen to your podcasts. And please subscribe and follow along so that you never miss an episode.
You can follow the podcast on Instagram or YouTube at Wonderland on Points Podcast. You can find me on Instagram at FamilyTravel4TheWin with the number 4.
And you can find me on Instagram at PointsToWonderland.
If you're thinking about getting a new travel rewards credit card, consider using the links in our show notes. Using our links helps to support us and keep our podcast going so we can provide you with all the latest tips and tricks when it comes to traveling on points.
And if you aren't sure which card is right for you, shoot us an email at wonderlandonpoints@gmail.com. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you here next time.